two,
one.
The Colorado Sports Network presents The Varsity Wire, your premier source for the latest insight and storylines on high school athletics in the Centennial State. Starting now with your host, Kyle Newman.
Hello, hello. Welcome to The Varsity Wire podcast. It is Thursday, September 15th. I'm ColoradoSportsNetwork.com editor Kyle Newman, alongside my guest co-host today, Dane Craig of Mountain Range Softball, and we will be talking 5A and some 4A softball here on the show today. Just running down a little mid-season review here. Dane, thanks for coming on. I know your team's just outside the 5A top 10, but played a pretty tough schedule so far, and you've played a lot of these teams in the 5A top 10 that we'll be talking about.
Yeah, that's true. We've had a very aggressive non-conference schedule. We did that because this year they're running playoff projections off of the RPI, so it's extremely important to have that non-conference schedule. It also tests our team, tries to get us where we need to be, and if you look in the top five in the 5A, most of the front range teams are in it anyway, so it doesn't get any easier as we get conference play.
Yeah, and some of the good early season testers you've had were at the Downtown Showdown, facing off against Valor Christian, who won last year, Pomona, who was runner-up last year, and then also just recently hosting that King of the Mountain tournament that you guys play, and you played some top teams in that too. So we'll get to talking about Mountain Range in a little bit here. Again, folks, this is the Varsity Wire podcast. I'm Kyle Newman alongside Dane Craig. You can head to ColoradoSportsNetwork.com to check out multimedia content on a ton of the teams we'll be talking about. Of course, follow us on Twitter at CO Sports Network for scores, photos, analysis, and much more throughout the fall on softball, football, soccer, volleyball, and more. And so we'll start off the show here talking about one of those front range league teams. I mean, you mentioned your non-conference schedule, Dane, but the in-conference is probably just as tough, if not tougher. And that top-ranked team is Fossil Ridge, 8-0, graduated Haley Donaldson. But, man, it seems like they've just reloaded, and here they are at the top of the rankings early in the season.
Yeah, Fossil Ridge is always chock full of talent. Dave Phillip, coach, is a great coach with a great staff behind him. That's a hotbed of talent up there in Fort Collins. The club-level team, the Triple Crown Stars, always produces great players, great kids, and they'll continually have good players every single year.
Yeah, you can head to ColoradoSportsNetwork.com to read some analysis on that Triple Crown Stars team program that you were just talking about. And, I mean, looking at their stats right now, you figure they lose a talented senior like Donaldson. You're like, okay, you know, who are some seniors this year or maybe juniors who are going to step up? Well, their top three hitters are sophomore, freshman, and freshman. Kristen Reed, Landon Bruce, and Jaden Mercado. So a really youth infusion. I mean, this team is not just very dangerous this year, but they're going to be good for the next couple of years. They're going to be a pain in your rear end, I take it.
Absolutely, and they always are. Since I've been at Mountain Range for 9 years, they've been in our conference for the last six, I believe, and we got by them last year one time, and we were literally an out away from playing them in the state finals last year, and I was not looking forward to that. So Dave always puts a quality product on the field. The kids always play hard for them, and you know, we actually have them in our senior game at Mountain Range this year, so it could be a very interesting send off for my seniors this year.
Well, in the front range league, it's hard to find just an easy game for your senior night, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, sophomore Kate Delaney and junior Rihanna Will getting it done offensively. One of a litany of players hitting over 500. They got 8 players over 500 on the season. I mean, 9 games in, that's pretty impressive for this very young squad. So again, number one, Fossil Ridge, a team to keep an eye on. And then also a team to keep an eye on, number two, Thunder Ridge, keep climbing up in the rankings. I mean, just a month ago, they're completely unranked, just received 2 votes in the preseason poll. And Jim Doolahan's squad is getting it done so far. They're 9-2 right now. And I mean, this is a team that I profiled last year on the Colorado Sports Network. They started off 9-0, kind of stumbled throughout league play and the postseason, did not make it to the state tournament to finish 14-9. But this year, looking very, very good again. And they got Emily Morris back in the circle. And Dane, as I'm sure, as you know, and you played Thunder Ridge, lost them actually, you got your ace back in the circle too. And Hunter, when you have a seasoned pitcher, it seems like you have a chance of things coming together no matter what else is going on with the team.
That's right. And we actually did face Thunder Ridge in our King of the Mountain tournament in the finals. They were spectacular. They hit the ball very aggressively. They were very sharp defensively. And yes, she was on target that day. She had a rise ball working that fooled my batters countless times. I mean, we got a few hits late, but by that time we were already past that point, and we were just trying to, you know, finish the game at that point.
And folks, you can head to ColoradoSportsNetwork.com to check out a one-on-one with Coach Doolahan, talking about Emily Morris, key offensive components for the Grizzlies, and much more. They're sitting at number 2, and I think they're a team that's going to hang around throughout the tough Continental League play that they got coming up, and through the playoffs, too. I'm looking for them to make a state tournament run. Sitting at number 3 here, Dane, as we discuss the 5A landscape midway through the season on the Varsity Wire podcast, is a team that, in talking to you before the season, said, hey, keep an eye on this team. Broomfield, 8-2 right now, but it returned so much, and they got the pitching experience to match.
Yeah, another team that we've already played this year. They are solid top to bottom, 1-9. They've got great senior leadership with Taylor Gilmore and Lenny Malkin. You're going to see a lot of offense out of them. You're going to see a lot of grit out of them. They play hard for their coach. And they're actually a very fun team to watch too, and very respectful. So Broomfield's always been a powerhouse. They've got a lot of talent coming in as well. So it's going to be fun to watch them moving forward the rest of this year.
Yeah, and Coach, I mean, how do you balance that obviously competitive nature, the desire to win the conference every year, with the knowledge that, hey, this is the Front Range League, one of the best, if not the best, leagues in the state when it comes to softball. And it seems like you coaches within the league have kind of a camaraderie amongst yourselves and the pride, you know, that, hey, this is the top crop. And even if we kind of beat up on each other, we know one of us is probably going to be in contention for the title or win the title.
Right. And that's true. We have our coaches' meetings, you know, at the end of the season. And in the beginning of the season, too. But we always get together, congratulate each other, know that we're going to, you know, our best competition sitting right in front of us when we have these meetings. And at the end of the season, it's a lot of fun to talk to each other, congratulate each other, and say, hey, you know, great season. See you next year. What do you got coming back? And support each other. I mean, every year when you get to the state tournament, the Front Range has 2, 3, 4 teams in the state tournament, not just in regionals. And it just shows just how tough this league really is. Now, there's a lot of other leagues out there that are good, don't get me wrong. And
right.
They challenge us all the time, like Thunder Ridge did for us this year, and Valor and 4A, for example. But, you know, we continually put out good product in the Front Range League. You always seem to find, you know, teams like Fort Collins, Rocky Mountain last year. We played them in the state tournament. Fossil Ridge is always there. We're always right there. And then, of course, if you look at the state titles won in the past 15 years, I think it's 10 of the last 15 years has come from the Front Range League.
Yeah, it's some dominance for sure. Again, folks, this is the Varsity Wire podcast. I am ColoradoSportsNetwork.com editor Kyle Newman, alongside Dane Craig, just running down a little midseason softball recap on the show here, and of course previewing and looking forward to the second half of the season and the playoffs. Moving down the rankings here to number 4, Arvada West. I know, Dane, this is a team you played last season in the state tournament. They're led by sophomore Gianna Haley, hitting .458 through 9 games, and they're 7-3-1. Have not started Jeffco League play yet, but they got to be a 5A Jeffco favorite for sure. Dane, any thoughts on this team, especially after having seen them last year in the state tournament?
Yeah, well, not only did we see them in the state tournament, but we also played them in non-league schedule the last 2 seasons. 2 years ago, I said, watch out for these guys. Then they came to our place the year after that, and I said, watch out for these guys. And then, almost as if people were listening, we draw them in the state tournament. They are chock full of pitching. They are chock full of talent. And they're going to be a force for a couple, 3, 4 years. And who knows what's going to be coming into that school after that. But I'm a big fan of A-West. They've got some great kids there that I know from the summer. And their pitching is spot on and will carry them a long way.
Yeah, junior Shay Mauser leading the way for them. She's 7-2 with a 2.4 ERA and 10 appearances so far. So doing a good job for the Wildcats. Looking forward to see what they can put together down the stretch as they eye another state tournament appearance. Dropping down to number 5, Legend. And they got those 2 rotating pitchers this year, Kaylee Coomer, the senior, and Zoe LeCompte, the sophomore. Zoe LeCompte 6-2 so far, and with a 1.92 ERA. So having two weapons that you can go to in the circle, it seems to be becoming more of a popular choice. I mean, obviously with your team, you got one of the best, if not the best, pitcher in the state and Hunter Hooser, reigning 5A player of the year. I mean, what are your thoughts on a team like Legend, and what's the benefit of having two girls you really trust come playoff time?
It's a great benefit. And you know, to step to Hunter real quick, she's a great pitcher. She does a great job. I do have a junior, Angelica Morales, behind her, who has had to pitch last week because Hunter's been hurt, but we can get into that a little bit. But having two pitchers like Legend does, you can have different off speeds. Sometimes a drop ball's working, sometimes a rise ball's working. You also got your curves and screws, and you never know exactly which one's going to work best, and it's a coach's decision. What Legend has going for them is an extreme amount of confidence, and the fact that they really, in my opinion, haven't got the voters' respect that they probably deserve. Jesse Smith on that team is kind of an unsung hero who can go yard at any given time and has unbelievable speed on the bases. We did watch them play in some scrimmages earlier this year, and they play with just an unbelievable amount of confidence and swagger, and they got a great coach. And I look for Legend to be a real contender as this season ends.
Yeah, I really enjoy catching up with Kristen Shirk from time to time, just talking about her team. And you definitely do sense that confidence. I sensed it last year from the first time I met her and was talking to her. And I mean, this is a team that last year had state title aspirations. So this year, with all the talent coming back, you mentioned Jesse Smith, the senior, hitting .517, 12 RBIs, a home run, and 4 doubles so far in the year. And also another senior getting it done for them is Carly Arnold. She's hitting .441 on the season with a dozen RBI as well. And then you go down the list. I mean, they're very, very deep hitting-wise to match that depth in the circle. So I think this is a team, you're right, I think they're a little higher than a 5 right now. But you know what? The rankings don't mean a thing. As you know from years past, and last year when you weren't number one for much of the season and you finished on top. So I'm anxious to see what this Legend team can do.
Yeah, they've got the power to go deep, and they were in the state finals just a couple of years ago with this, I think this class of seniors were freshmen, if I'm not mistaken. And I really expect them to go deep and to learn from their past years. They're kind of doing like what we had done at Mountain Range for a few years, learning as you go, even though you'd like to get to the top a little bit quicker. But you know, as high school softball goes, you get one game a night. It's very rare that you get a chance to make up for it. And it's not like where you're playing your summer competitive ball where you get another pool game or you get a double elimination. It just doesn't work that way. You win or you go home. And it's something you learn over the years. And, you know, I'm still learning it every year. And I've been doing high school softball for over 14 years.
Again, folks, this is the Varsity Wire podcast. Just talking with Dane Craig here about some 5A softball teams. I am Kyle Newman. Moving down the rankings here, Dane, you're playing this next team tonight. Legacy are hosting the games at 4:15 this afternoon. What are some keys against Coach Gaffin's squad? I mean, they're going to come prepared. They're going to come playing some good ball, I imagine.
Don's team always hits the ball, and they play hard for Don. Don is a personal friend of mine. She's also somebody that I've learned from for many years. Her daughter, Rainey, you know, obviously is well-known for a Tennessee All-American. They thrive off of that, and I'm a big fan of Legacy. Dawn is a great coach. She surrounds herself with other great coaches, and even though we'd like to call this our rival game, it's not necessarily a rival game when I personally have not beaten Legacy in the 9 years I've been at Mountain Range. So they're always a tough squad. They're always fun to play, and we're really looking forward to this game tonight.
7-2, the Lightning are sitting at your 5-5 with your squad right now. We were talking about this a little before the show, just all the recent events with the Legacy football team, the bus crash at DIA after they got back from their out-of-state trip to play a game. I mean, what kind of things are you bringing into tonight at your home field to, you know, just let the Legacy community know that you're right there with them?
Yeah, and, you know, we're all of a mile away from Legacy, so a lot of the girls and a lot of the schools, kids, they know each other extremely well. They're friends. And they're only separated by boundaries that Adams 12 puts in. So the school itself, softball aside, is having their Legacy Day today. They're supposed to be wearing Legacy colors, the navy blue and the yellow. And tonight we have a special tribute that we're going to be doing for Legacy. We'll be giving you know, just some remembrance and making sure they know that we support them and moving forward that way. And it's a terrible tragedy, and the girls go through it. We, you know, it seems like Mountain Range has always been on the heels of this. It happened to us a couple years with Arapahoe a couple years ago. We had with their issues, and then with Ponderosa even a few years ago before that. And we just make sure that we let them know that it's a very small community in softball, and we, you know, we are constantly thinking about them, and it doesn't matter. They may be wearing different colors, but we're all softball players.
Yeah, and especially in that Front Range League, absolutely. Very tightly knit, as we were talking about earlier. Again, folks, this is the Varsity Wire podcast, just talking about legacy softball right now, and Hunter's going to have her hands full tonight against that lineup. Trisha Cook, a junior for them, hitting .778 for legacy through nine games, and another player, Megan Foley, hitting .724. Lauren Strathern hitting .700. So you got three players legit hitting over .700. I mean, they all have over 30 plate appearances.
Yeah, and not only is Hunter going to have her hands full, but this is her first game back from an injury in a week, and she's ready to go. We're hoping that everything is fine with her wrist, and she played last night against Grandview as just a hitter only and hit a 3-run home run, went 2-for-4, and you know, she's ready on one side of the ball. We're just hoping she's ready on the other side of the ball. And if she throws what she can in this mound, we should be able to give Legacy a good game tonight.
Again, folks, that game is at 4:15 this afternoon at Mountain Range High School if you want to go and check out some great Front Range League action. Again, this is the Varsity Wire podcast, just running down the 5A top 10 here right now as we do a softball midseason overview. Number 7, Cherokee Trail. And Dane, again, you've played this team not this year, but last year, very solid 7-2 right now, and led by just an array of good hitters, starting with senior Sonoma Olson, who's hitting .500 right now. What's your analysis of the Cougars?
Yeah, we played these guys in regionals last year, and they came to our place and, as we were hosting, but they are in that ranking spot, a lot like Legend, where they could easily sneak up on anybody and really make a huge run and push at the very end of the year. They are solid top to bottom. They are coached extremely well. They play hard for their coach, and they're the kind of team that you're not sure if it's going to be number 1 or number 9. Somebody can pop it over the fence. Somebody can hit a gap, and they're going to have good, solid defense and pitching behind them. Cherokee Trail is a good team.
And depth in the pitching circle as well. Senior Audrey Pickett and senior Emily Bell both sharing times. 9 wins between those two girls. So, and Pickett with an ERA well under 1.5. So Cherokee Trail not to be slept on for sure. And then jumping down to the number 9 spot with Brighton, you talk about a team that maybe isn't as getting as many votes as they should. They just are coming off a tournament victory recently. In that Brighton softball squad, 9-3 this year under Marty Stricklett, playing in that EMAC league. What's your analysis of them? I mean, they seem to me, I've seen them play a couple times, including a 22-0 thrashing of Vista Peak Prep in their opener. They seem talented and deep like a lot of the other teams we've been talking about.
They're talented, they're deep, and they're young. They do play in a league that they, I think, have won the last 5 or 6 years in a row.
Easily.
Right? Yeah. And it, quite frankly, is a league they should win with that kind of talent, and especially going back even 6 years ago. Where they turn it on, I've noticed with Brighton, is they've got incredible community support. They are always coached well. They got a brand-new coach in Marty this year who's doing a great job with them. And I expect Brighton actually to not only win their conference, but they might even host a region this year again. And if they do, I think they could easily get themselves into contention to hit that state tournament very easily.
Sophomore Haley Litwin has been pacing them in the circle. She's 8-3 with a 2.74 ERA as Brighton really gets into league play. I mean, they're already 4-0 in league, so already looking good to win that EMAC again. Again, folks, this is the Varsity Wire podcast, just running down a 5A and 4A softball midseason analysis right now. And we'll talk very briefly here about your Mountain Range team before we shift the focus to some of these 4A squads. You know, what can you say? You're obviously, preseason number 1, taking some lumps. What's to be learned from some of the early losses that your team has gone through?
Well, we lost a lot of talent, and we lost a lot of senior leadership last year. That's it goes without saying.
Yeah.
But it's recovering from that and trying to really find the identity of the school and the team is where we're really focused on right now. And yes, we're 10 games into our season, it's half over, but we feel we're at a point where we can start to make a change. And last night we played Grandview, and a good Grandview team that we lost. And, you know, we've been making some mental mistakes that we actually feel were corrected in a loss last night, which sounds odd. But when the game was over, which was, you know, lightning delay and it was dusk and we could barely see the ball, something like a light came on and the girls kind of changed. And yes, we're playing Legacy, somebody we like to call our rival tonight, and somebody, a team that we really want to get by. Everybody wants to be on the team that finally broke the bubble when you play Legacy High School. And we really thought we were going to do it last year, didn't get it done. We thought we were going to do it the year before that, didn't get it done. And the years prior to that, Legacy was chock full of talent and pitching. So, you know, the opportunity is there for us to make a great Front Range League push starting right now. And, you know, we go up to Fort Collins this weekend. We got Rocky Mountain coming to us next week. I mean, you know, the top four in our league are an automatic regional berth, and six, sometimes seven, come out of our conference into regions. So we know we've got a great opportunity. We just need to keep playing as hard as we can. Now, you mentioned my non-conference schedule. I put Valor on there. Allie Kaponen shut us down, and she pitched a hell of a game. Sorry. Heck of a game. Okay. Heck of a game up there at Metro. And you know, we let them, you know, they scored four runs on us in the first inning, and then Hunter, showing her dominance, shut them down the rest of the game. And I saw, you know, that Valor's going to be good too. But, you know, Thunder Ridge entered my tournament this year. Now they're the top three. We play Broomfield early. We got Legacy. I mean, we've got a lot of work to do, but we're in the right spot to make a push to get to regionals. And once you're in the dance, anything can happen. And we proved that last year. And, you know, we're hoping to get in there again and maybe make some noise.
Yeah, and so you mentioned Hunter's injury a few minutes ago. I mean, what was going on with that? And is she back at full strength? Are you kind of being cautious with her? But like you said, now you're into league play. I mean, you got to win these games here.
Yeah, I want to make sure that we understand one thing, and this goes for any kid. I would love to have Hunter on the mound at any time, throwing as hard as she can and making that ball dance all over the plate. But it's ultimately her health, and she's got a scholarship coming to Weber State coming up next year. She hurt her wrist. It's her pitching wrist. It's a deep ligament bruise. She's had it immobilized for over a week now, just a little bit over a week. And she actually, like I said, returned to the field last night as a hitter in my DP spot. And tonight she wants to pitch against Legacy. Of course, you know, I'm not surprised by that, but
of course,
you know, I will make sure the doctor gives me the okay. I'll make sure my trainer tapes her up well. But if she has any pain whatsoever, I don't care. You know, if she can throw at 80%, it's not worth it. I've got a great backup in Angelica Morales. I got a team that's going to support either one of them on the mound. And you know, she's hurt, but she's my senior leader, and she wants to get out there and get it done. So, you know, I'll ride her as much as she'll let herself be ridden, and we have a great understanding that if she's hurt, she's going to get out.
Yeah, and I mean, with how many innings she threw last year and just obviously kind of worked her way through the postseason, she put the team on her back to the championship. As a coach, I mean, down the stretch here, is that kind of in your mind that you want to save her? I mean, save her for when it counts most?
I'd love to save her for when it counts most, but, you know, unfortunately we're in a situation with the RPI and we're in league play. We need to get the wins as any way possible.
Yeah.
You know, Hunter, yes, we rode her last year, and yes, she was a leader, but she had the utmost confidence in her catcher and her defense behind her. She literally has a brand new catcher and a brand new infield behind her, and it's taken us 10 games to get comfortable and find the right combination there, and we have it now. We're just hoping that it's something that's going to get us propelled into where we need to be.
And I see offensively a sophomore leading you, got a junior, another couple other sophomores up there. Very young team still, it looks like, after you departed those seniors. I mean, how have they progressed throughout the season so far, and who's going to really have to step up and carry that load offensively down the stretch?
I've got a couple of seniors that need to step up, and they are. Riley Younger is one of my team captains. Then I have a junior in Trinity Gallegos, who I think I spoke to you and said I'm looking for her to be great behind the plate. She hasn't even caught a single inning because she is probably my best athlete. She's playing at shortstop now, and she's doing a great job there. Sophomore Rachel Caldwell was my catcher for Hunter. But her best position for us is at third base. Now I've got her at third base. I've got a freshman behind the plate in Carly Hagen. And then my outfield, who I absolutely love, is playing fantastic. Montana Alley is hitting the cover off the ball. She stands all of 4'5", but, man, can she put a wallop on there. Hit a triple off of Capone and was one of our few highlights that game. And then I've got Ellery Sherman in center field and my other sophomore, Jenny Richter, whose sister played on last year's state championship team, who have all stepped up as great leaders moving forward. We're still kind of, you know, figuring out exactly where we want everybody, but right now with Angelica throwing, she did a great job this last week. I mean, her first game as a starter was against Broomfield, not an easy one to do. And not only did she do a great job, she got us through seven innings. We actually had a chance there at the end to make it real interesting. My catcher, Carly, is, you know, as a freshman who was playing JV up until I called her up for the Broomfield game too. I mean, talk about pressure. She stepped up, did a fantastic job. We kind of said, it was funny, I'll say something real quick about Carly. We had goals before the game, and we were just trying to get the girls pumped up, and she goes, I want to hit the ball today. And not only did she hit the ball, she went 2 for 3 on Taylor, and she's one of the few kids that did a really great job hitting against Taylor. And so I've got this feeling this that there's a change coming starting tonight, and you know, if we can start rolling it together, we could really make a run at the end here. I'm very excited for the second half of the season because it's been a very let's just call it interesting first half.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not so much the game as it was our field was flooded out. We had to move our tournament clear to Broomfield just to run it. There's been a lot of issues, you know, inside that take away from coaching and focus. And now that all that's gone and the girls can move forward and start doing this, I think we can actually start playing the game that we, you know, like we played last year and just make a real hard push and run here.
Yeah, it's amazing. You won the state title last year, you know, got to the top of the mountain, still haven't beat Legacy though. So a good chance here this afternoon, 4:15, then going doesn't get any easier for you. You got Fort Collins, Rocky Mountain, Fossil Ridge towards the end of the season. So it's going to be interesting to see how your squad progresses throughout the year, Dane. Again, this is the Varsity Wire podcast. Just running down a midseason softball report with Mountain Range head coach Dane Craig. Head to ColoradoSportsNetwork.com to check out multimedia content on a lot of the teams we're talking about, including complete previews on the 4A and 5A landscape. And speaking of 4A, we'll discuss some of these top squads right here. Number one, Erie. I've seen them play. They've basically just smashed their way through most of their games so far. Rio Sanchez in the circle. And I think when you look at 4A, you got Erie and Rio Sanchez, you got Valor Christian and Ali Kilponen. The state championship is running through those two teams and those two ladies specifically, I think.
I couldn't agree more. If I'm not mistaken, the two kids are actually teammates in the summer. So to have them running up against each other like this has got to be a real treat. Harold is doing a great job at Erie. He always has done that. He's lucky to have a kid like Rio on the mound like I am with Hunter, but he also is a great coach, and he came into a very storied program and it really hasn't skipped a beat. So it's fun to watch what he's doing. I like Harold. He and I get along real well. I like to see his team playing hard, hitting the ball hard, running the bases hard. You know, Erie is one of those small town schools that, you know, because I grew up in Broomfield personally, and, you know, there's when you play in those small towns, you have a lot of team and community pride. And Holly Jordan, who's one of my assistant coaches, played for Erie, four-time state champion. And she would tell us stories how, you know, they would get police escorts out of town to go to away games. And they would go to the front of the city council after wins. And, you know, and that is just something that's kind of unheard of these days with the bigger schools and stuff. So to see Harold taking over a program like that and doing so well, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, Harold doing a great job. And, of course, he's the coach of the baseball program too. Mm-hmm. And I actually talked to him about that for a piece we have up on ColoradoSportsNetwork.com right now, just, you know, diving into the Erie, the tradition, the Erie Tournament of Champions that they put on every year. And they did very well in last week. And, you know, he was saying the community support is huge for both the baseball and softball programs. And the one game I saw the Tigers play so far this year, it was at Holy Family, and there were twice as many Erie fans there as Holy Family fans. I mean, it was they travel well, they believe in this team, and they definitely have a chance to make a run at a state title. But of course, Valor Christian, Ali Kilponen, I mean, whether one team is ranked one and the other is ranked two. I think these teams are so equal, in my opinion, offensively as well. Lauren Foster, who's catalyzing the Eagles, she's their shortstop. And Rio and quite a few other talented players on Erie. So last season it came down to a Lauren Foster home run when Rio was throwing a no-no against them. I mean, just how quickly things can change. And when they play each other, which they inevitably will, I think, in the state tournament, hopefully the championship, I think it's going to be like a 1-0 game. I mean, these both of these girls just straight deal.
Yeah, they do. And when you have two kids that throw hard like that and they throw with such accuracy and just incredible confidence, your whole team gets on their back. And they know that if a ball does get hit to them, they need to make that play because she's got the ball in her hands every single pitch. So once that ball is released, they know they got to step up and make that play, catch that ball in the air, make a diving play, do whatever it takes to help their pitcher out. And that's what good teams do is they stick behind their pitcher and they play hard.
But, of course, now that we've hyped up these top two teams, let's not forget about some of the other talent in 4A. Mountain View ranked third right now, led by senior Tara Shadowin. She's hitting .632 on the year. Randy Felton doing a great job with that program there in the state tournament last year, right there up until the very end. 10-1 so far this season. And then number four, Wheat Ridge, right on the doorstep last season, lost by one run in the state title to Valor. So don't count out the Farmers either because they're going to be there as well, I think.
Yep, you can't count out Wheat Ridge. You know, I don't know a whole lot about Mountain View other than they play up north, and they play against Loveland, who's in the Front Range League a couple times a year. That just does nothing but get them prepared, I'm sure. And, you know, being so close in schools. But Wheat Ridge is also a young talent. They were close again last year. They got a couple of great seniors. Gabby Loyal, I think, is a senior who's a catcher. And she's hitting the ball extremely well, seeing it hard. I expect Wheat Ridge actually to really give a scare to one of those top two teams just because there's always that fear of, oh, we got to play Wheat Ridge. And one of them will have to, assuming they're on the opposite sides of the bracket.
Yeah, and I think Mountain View is that same kind of wild card dark horse. As much as you can be as the third-ranked team, considering there's so much hype around Valor and Erie, Lily Meza doing a great job in the circle for them. She's a senior, 7-1, and she was their main pitcher last year. So Mountain View, Wheat Ridge, some teams to watch for sure. Mullen, TJ also, Windsor in the top 10. So it's going to be a good 4A down the stretch, I think, and into the playoffs, and of course in 5A too. And that'll just about do it for our show today. Dane, I really appreciate you coming on. Good luck tonight against Legacy. I know it's going to be a great battle, and you know, I'm just hoping for a good game as an objective person, because I know both these programs so storied, and your program, I think the script is just being written here. I mean, we're in the early going. You won a state title, but I know you're not satisfied. I mean, you want multiple rings, right?
Multiple rings would be nice, and you know, it's going to be I want a great game tonight too. I concede nothing. I want to make sure, you know, every game is important, and we want to go out, and we left last night's field saying that tomorrow we want to play our best game. Well, all that means is that we're going to say that every single time we leave the field. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and you know, we're just, you know, we want to just finish this season strong for Mountain Range. And it's not about the rings. It's just about getting the good production and getting the kind of, you know, the kind of play you'd expect out of your kids. And I'm getting the play I expect out of them. We just haven't quite meshed it all together yet.
But you get that play and you start meshing. And then from that comes the success that Absolutely. You had last season.
That's what I've been saying for 9 straight years at Mountain Range. I mean, I've been there so long that I remember pretty much every single kid that's come through, and I've had some powerhouse teams. I now have pitching powerhouse, and I've done the complete opposite ends of the spectrum. And every year we've been in contention, you know, and our story was last year is that we can get to the dance, we can't get out of the dance. You
right.
know, we can't get out of regionals. And not only we get out, we made the final run, and you know, we were literally 3 runs away from being perfect last year. Well, that would have been an interesting story too, is, you know, being perfect and winning the title. So, you know, I think it would have been actually added pressure that we just didn't need at that time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And no coach does, trust me.
Yeah. Well, Dane, thanks for coming on the show. And, hey, good luck to your field, too. I'm hoping it doesn't get flooded the rest of the season.
No, I think the district has gotten behind it. They came in and cleaned it up, did a great job. We've got irrigation pretty much taken care
good.
Of.
But, good.
So I would like to say, though, Kyle, you are an incredible support for Colorado softball, not just during the high school season, but even through the summer. And, you know, being in this sport for almost 17 years now, it's not always seen. So we, as Colorado softball supporters, really thank you. And just love to keep doing this as much as possible.
Yeah, I love the sport, man. And thanks for the kind words. I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
Until next week, folks, take it easy.